glory be to God on high, and to the earth the peace. Goodwill henceforth from heaven to men begin and never cease. Begin and never cease.
Amen. You may be seated. Boy, I love Christmas time. I love, again, celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. A good Sunday school lesson today that covered just that, and I appreciate that. And in line of all the shepherds that we've looked at here, let me go ahead and read last week's penny pulpit. I wasn't here to preach this, but I wrote it out anyway. It says this, it's no coincidence God sent heralding angels to pasturing shepherds who were watching their flocks by night, as was done during spring lambing season when all Passover lambs were born. These pasturers, who came to be called pastors, had the time, curiosity, initiative, connections, and networks to be behind-the-scene heralds of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Passover Lamb of mankind. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Luke 2. For 30 years, these pastors kept the countryside awash with talk about the long-awaited, highly anticipated, thoroughly prophesied nativity. Their primary job was feeding sheep. If sheep didn't need fed, resurrected Jesus would not have told Peter three times, "Feed my sheep." God concerns himself about sheep with no shepherd. Let the Lord set a man over the congregation, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd, Numbers 27. And God concerns himself with shepherds not doing their jobs, and gives this pastor checklist. Number one, feed the flocks. Number two, strengthen. Number three, heal. Number four, bind up broken. Number five, bring in drive the driven away. And number six, seek the lost. And number seven, not scattering the flock. Bad pastors do great harm. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard, the Bible says. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. Jeremiah chapter 12. God holds pastors accountable. Woe to be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. On my prayers list, several New York churches that have need of pastors. TV preachers don't make hospital visits. I pray you have a godly pastor. I know you should be praying for one. Praise the Lord. So I appreciate, again, all the emphasis we've had here in the past couple weeks on sheep and shepherding, and appreciate, again, the celebration of the birth of Christ. Praise the Lord. Brother Dave and Lynn are going to come and give us a song special. Just now, if you would.
We're going to attempt to sing O Holy Night.
Lord.
Pastor, I don't recognize the second verse at all, so we're going to skip that. We're going to do the first and last.
Yes.
It just sounds really weird.
Mm-hmm. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born, oh, night, oh, holy night, oh, night divine. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory evermore.
Proclaim his power and glory.
Just start
Let's
over
start again. We messed that one up as well.
Sorry.
Let me see. Christ is
the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. His power and glory evermore to proclaim.
Sorry, we butchered that last part. But.
Amen.
I love that song.
And I don't know if you remember this. We had it in a cantata once here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church.
And we had the whole church singing that song, and I was, Lord help me, trying to pick it out on a guitar at the same time. And that was beautiful, especially compared to what our cantata did to it. But I still love that song, hallelujah. So appreciate again that we could hear it today, hallelujah. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew in chapter 2. I, long ago and far away, wrote Advent messages that follow the Advent candles. I don't know exactly where the Advent candles came from, but it's got candles in it that Roman Catholics used to sell to people to try and get their kin out of purgatory, so I don't much like candles. Candles make me nervous in a church setting. But as long as you know the truth, again, you're in good shape. That, again, buying candles from a church is not going to get your loved ones any further along. And so, but anyway, there's these Advent candles that are set up that I thought lined up perfectly with detailing the first Advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said Matthew, my Bible opened to Micah. That was last week's again, so Matthew in chapter 2. And so the Advent candles, our first, is a prophecy candle. Those will buy on slides up here that we have going. And then came the, I'm trying to think of the order of them here. First came the prophecy candle, then came the shepherd candle, if I remember right, then came the wise men candle, and then came the birth of Christ candle. So that's just some of them in the order. And so I think I left something off there. But as we look at them, we see the breakout here that breaks out very nicely into the whole month of December. We've talked quite a bit about here whether Christ was born in December or not. And the consensus is, I like the way Dave gave it in Sunday school, who cares? I believe it was more towards the springtime when the Passover lambs were born in Bethlehem. When we look at the springtime celebration of Christmas, we're kind of busy celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ in the springtime, because that's when the Passover lamb was offered. And so I enjoy the cold deadness of winter rejoicing in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're doing, and appreciate the opportunity to do that. As I said, in Sunday school, there's so much data, so much material to cover on the first advent of Christ. And the birth of Christ is just a tiny little piece of that first advent. The important thing is that he came as a Passover lamb. He came to die, and he died for your sins and for my sins. And his death, burial, and resurrection is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that we preach and that changes lives. And so we appreciate again the celebration of his birth here. And let's go ahead and look now at these visiting wise men that's recorded here in the book of Matthew and chapter 2. You follow along in your Bible. You're all seated so comfortably there. I'll leave you there. You follow along as I would read the account here of the wise men visiting the birthplace of Jesus. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Notice again, I'm going to emphasize a few things as we're reading. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, they came. It's not when he was a young child growing up, like some people have stretched this thing to mean. That's when they came, was when he was born. And God doesn't miss a birth situation here. Being born is a big deal. If you don't think so, just ask Nicodemus about that. So they came from the east, and they came to Jerusalem. Verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are coming to worship him." So they were in the east, and that's where they saw the star. Again, I hate to overemphasize some of this stuff, but that's what the Bible says. And we're going to try and stick with what the Bible says, even though there's been a ton of conflicting narratives about these wise men. And let's watch carefully our Bible. Verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the priests and scribes and people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Father, praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you for the detail that's given even about the birth of your only begotten Son. Father, as we worship here today, we again worship that you would send your only begotten Son to this earth to be made flesh, to dwelt among us. And Father, that again, whosoever received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
Father, thank you again and praise you. And now I pray your blessing on our worship and on your words. And Father, that we'd be strengthened and encouraged as we'd consider all that was done. Even so that we could be here on this first day of the week to celebrate the first advent of your Son. In the name of Christ, we praise you. Amen. It wasn't last week, it must have been the week before, I put an emphasis on the fact that the advent is not just the birth or not just the coming, it is the long-awaited, highly anticipated, and certainly heavily prophesied coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what his first advent was thousands of years, 4,000 years. His first advent was anticipated, prophesied, and talked about even since Genesis 3:15 announced it. But his second advent is also coming, and it's been prophesied and talked about and looked for and anticipated for now 6,000 years, and we're still anticipating, looking again, that God's word will be completely fulfilled. I hope you're with me on that page. And so again, notice here that we have the visiting wise men. Solomon wrote, "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars." Now Solomon set the stages for those who would pursue wisdom. And he tasked all sons of men to take up that quest. Those with a drive to discover, a hunger to learn, a desire to know, have tremendous resources afoot. I'd almost camp right there and say, people with a drive to learn are not as plentiful as they used to be, but I'm thinking probably that's not true. There's only a few, again, in history that have raised above and have lifted themselves up by a knowledge and a quest for knowledge and a searching for knowledge. And where does that knowledge begin? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. We could spend some time in Proverbs right there. But those with a drive to discover, a hunger to learn, and a desire to know, listen, that should be us. And boy, there are resources afoot. In the last century of B.C., wise men used tremendous resources to step into the first century of A.D. because they knew there was to come a Messiah, i.e., an anointed of Jehovah God, born King of the Jews, as we read there in verse 2 of this chapter, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." They came to Jerusalem. They came to worship him. God had shown them his star in the east, it says. And 6 centuries earlier, 1 million Jews were exiled to the east. They brought the oracles of God. They stayed for less than a century. And while they were there, they wrote some more oracles of God. Daniel was one of those that was there from the beginning to the end. Gabriel, the angel, messenger, that came to Zacharias to announce John. Then he came to Mary to announce Jesus. Had come to the prophet Daniel to announce the exact time of Messiah's coming. And we've studied that several times here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church in Daniel chapter 9. The exact timing of when he would be born. And you can follow it again right out to the end of B.C. and the beginning of A.D., and it happened exactly as Daniel 9 prophesied. Wise men studied scriptures to know these oracles of God. They still do. And they are still in a minority among scoffers. Wide is the gate, and broad is the path that leadeth to destruction, and few there be that find it. And so we are surrounded by scoffers. This week, I heard a rabbi say, today, 2 million Islamists want to annihilate 14 million Jews, and no one should be give a blind eye to that truth. Wow. Think about that. And we're seeing it come to light. And I've even seen a couple of secular news stations that have said it out loud. So we're in a mess here. And my own kin chant their slogans of destroying all Jews. 60 years ago, I was given a Scofield Reference Bible. And I read Daniel chapter 9 with wonder. 30 years ago, I retired from the U.S. Air Force and came to Yates County to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and teach the prophecies of Daniel about his second coming. I expected a larger audience in Yates County, but I do know this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Wise men still seek him. These came bringing three gifts. A lot of people suppose that that makes it three wise men. I guess I don't mind that mistake. But the wise men that came in a huge caravan again. And it wasn't a little thing. It was such a thing that even Herod himself took note of it. And so as we see the account unfold here in the Bible, let me go ahead and say that it unfolds here in the Bible. And I've been with people, and I tried not to be, but I've been with people who take the wise men and throw them out of all manger scenes. But again, understand that, hey, when he was a child, when he was an infant, I'll make that, that wise men came to worship him. They did the census. They came, were in an agricultural society, and they knew that. And they didn't have people displaced during important times again. Very likely, again, they were not in Bethlehem for more than a year. And when the Bible says that Herod killed everyone that was 2 years and young, born 2 years and younger, that's the first definition of overkill. I like that. And people who refuse to see that say, no, he was a two-year-old child. Understand, Jesus was born in a barn. They probably moved him as soon as they could, as you would do, out of the barn and found a residence that would have them. And there again, the child was when the wise men came. And then right after the wise men came, even before they were to return, which certainly would have been within probably 3 months, before they were to return to their homeland, because the census was done, Joseph and Mary immediately took him on a TDY. In the military, we call that a temporary duty. And so he was taken TDY to Egypt, where for his protection against Herod. And it was a funded TDY, too. They had gold and frankincense and myrrh to cover their travels. And so when God puts together the account of his birth, boy, let's study God And pretty much, like we said in Sunday school, never mind a lot of what man says. God gives us the important details. And God doesn't give us the date. But again, He does give us the details that are important to emphasize. And boy, even at this time of the year, it's important for us to emphasize the details. I've got a couple radio stations. I couldn't get them to play at the house. My smart TV ain't that smart, I decided. Either that or I'm not. One of us is lacking in that area. And so all I could get for playing Christmas music at the house was... Well, I won't tell you some of the songs that's on there, but they got nothing to do with Christmas per se again. And so our world has gone awry. And it used to be Santa Claus and lies and stories along that vein were important to me. But there's so many other things going on in our world today that not only defy the birth of Christ, but that certainly war against it openly. That again, I just want to emphasize, it's so important that we lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in this month of December. And I won't be here for the last Sunday of the month, but I'm sure that we need to stop and look at where we're going and where we've been. And then step off into a new year with a new emphasis, just to praise God and to lift up His name and rejoice in the fact that He sent His Son to take my sin debt and to pay in full our sin debt. We've got a minute left. Let's go over to the book of John in chapter 3. This year, again, I put a renewed emphasis on the plan of salvation, the Romans Road. And when I was doing the Bridge to Recovery classes, I assigned three questions that I assigned in writing. Again, if you got authority to do that as a teacher, that we would stop and write out the gospel message and John 3 and John 5 and then Romans, the whole Romans row, and then answer three questions. Question number one, what do I need saved from? Question number two, how do I get saved from it? And question number three, when was I saved from it? Boy, I'd encourage you, even through this Christmas time, that we each visit those three questions and that we could give a testimony of what Christ did for us to wash away our condemnation, and that we're not under condemnation. And it is gone, 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 gone. And how we got there. And so I'd encourage you again as we look at these verses in John chapter 3, that we keep in mind, again, the importance of speaking the truth in love, speaking the gospel to our loved ones. And as we look at these again, boy, it would just help us all to emphasize again in our own lives, and especially in the lives of our loved ones that some of us will see in this Christmas time. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born, it says in verse 4, when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. For my children, for my children's children, and now for their children, I wish I could know for certain that they're born again.
that they're saved, that they know what I know. But children are tremendous actors, again, and so aren't us adults. And there's a lot of people acting Christian that have missed this born-again thing. And there's a lot of people who have played Christian for so long. And let me say, as I told the youth group for 20 years, it's hard to act Christian, but it's easy to be Christian. And if you're having a hard act again, boy, you should really examine the reality of your salvation. And so notice here again, we have this emphasis that you're going to have to be born again. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, verse 10, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things?" Verse 13, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." I'd stop here and ponder the thought, and I've done this on many occasions with many a scripture, that Jesus, when he was given the plan of salvation, when he was given the gospel, he had not paid the price yet, and it was not completed. And so here, he does not give the complete gospel, but he can, and he references it, that he's going to be lifted up. And he talks about his death here in shaded words. But again, understand that Jesus had not paid my sin debt, nor your sin debt, nor Nicodemus's sin debt yet, when he gave these verses to Nicodemus. But he was still giving a marvelous reference to the belief on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on there and says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Verse 15. Look at verse 15. We've all memorized John 3:16. But verse 15 says this, "That whosoever," and I love the whosoever's that are in the Bible. John Calvin and his Calvinist institutes, be gone. The Bible is filled with whosoever's. "And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Let's say John 3:16 together. "For God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17 then says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." There it is. And boy, don't miss the fact that our loved ones, as we celebrate Christmas, they need to be saved. They need to have an eternal salvation. We've said it here many a time that you can miss heaven by 18 inches if you got all this stuff in your head, but you don't have him in your heart. And so, notice again verse 18, and the emphasis is on that very thought. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life."
never separate believing with from salvation. And notice here again that salvation is required. What do you need saved from? We need saved from condemnation. We need to be saved from that sentence that says guilty and condemned. And so that's what we have here, is a portrayal of being saved from condemnation. All of us here, I trust, can go through the Romans road then and lead a soul to heaven. And let's pray again that we have opportunity to do just that. And the verses again are very handy for us in our gospel tract from Ford Porter here. I love this tract. I know it's tiny print and I know it's long, but it gives those verses again, and it tells again how you can know for sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven. And so again, I encourage each of us this week, this month, as it closes out our year, let's be witnesses of God's saving grace. And be sure again that we can share that. Beginning, listen, with our own personal testimonies, always good, that I'm saved and I want you to be. Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you again, Father, for your word. And we stand in awe of it as it details, again, the birth of your Son. And we've just touched a little bit of it here, just a marvel at the miracle of it all. And Father, we do praise you and thank you that you've given us the whole book. Father, I pray that you'd help us to meditate on your word both day and night, that we'd be students, that we'd have a hunger to learn more about you, that we'd have a desire to be able to word what happened to us when we received your Son as our Savior. And Father, that we'd recognize people around us need the Lord. And Father, I'll praise you and thank you for our celebration of your birth in this month. I pray that you'd smile on our love for you and our desire that others would hear the gospel message. And we'll praise you again and thank you for helping us to be your witnesses, to be ministers of reconciliation, to again be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. This world sure needs some just now. And Father, we're going to be in a minority, your word says that. But I pray again, Father, that you'd help us to speak boldly the truths that you've laid out for us. And I'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen, amen. Let's stand and dismiss with a thank you, Lord, for saving my soul of all the gifts that's been given. That one right there is the most precious, that we have the gift of eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. The Lord bless you. Y'all have a very Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next year. At least the Rices will see you next year. Praise God. Lord willing.